You have your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I want to read some verses that God has put in my heart along with several other verses, because we're going to minister this morning on never stop overcoming. Never stop overcoming. Revelation chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Powerful verse. Never stop overcoming. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars, rough crowd, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In the reading of these verses, God's word is saying, keep on overcoming, a new day is coming. Of all times in history, it's going to pay to overcome in this day and hour, because good things are on the way. I said good things are on the way. The word of God tells us in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, speaking of the evil one, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Now, to overcome means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory, to triumph. When it's all over, you won. And the beautiful thing about it is Jesus is already won, because he said even back in John 16:33, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. On your worst day, on your crisis day, Jesus has already paid the price for you to win on that occasion and whatever you may be facing. Now, the scriptures tell us in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. What is good? God's word, faith in God's word. All of us are overcoming, or we're being overcome in some area of our life. Now, the Bible tells us to never stop overcoming. In fact, if you look at Revelation, I'll not take time to read the verses, but Revelation chapter 2, verse 7 says, to him that overcometh. Verse 11, to him that overcometh. Verse 17, to him that overcometh. Verse 26, to him that overcometh. Revelation 3, 5, 3, 12, 3, 21. All of these speak of to those that overcome. And then we go to Revelation 21, 7 again. And please, let this get into your heart, for he that overcometh shall inherit all things. There is an end. There is a victory. There is a celebration that's coming. Things will not always be the way they are today. Challenges will not always be as they seem to be to you today. For God's will for the believer is to lock in to a mentality, to a faith, to where it just becomes, could you say, second nature or first nature, that there's no other decision, we shall overcome. We refuse to be overcome. We are overcomers. We choose by faith in God's word and God's promises to overcome in this like we have everything else. And I want you to know the rewards are not going to those who have never been tempted or those who have never been tested. It's the devil's biggest lie. Rewards. And all that he was talking about, all things. That's a thought and a theme that has really been sparked in my heart. And I know it's been sparked in all of our hearts, because the Lord has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things. So we're either overcoming or we're being overcome. 2 Peter 2:19 said, "For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage." For of whom? That's a situation, a circumstance, a temptation, could be an individual. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. You win a war, you take captives. You win a victory, winner takes all. You take the spoil, you take all, as it was in the Old Testament. You go home with all the goods. But he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Never stop overcoming. Get a grip on an overcomer's mentality. It may be concerning fear of the present, fear of the future, fear of your health, fear of something with your children or grandchildren, fear of this. What's the future going to bring? Well, in me, I can't, but in Christ, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This is not a feel-better message. This is a message that is foundationally built on faith in God. God's the one that makes the difference. It's not hang in there and hold out, and if you just, you know, just lock yourself in mentally. It's not the power of positive thinking. It's the power of believing that God said what he meant and meant what he said. It's not everything's going to be cool and everything's going to work out and you're okay and I'm okay. It's not that at all. What I'm talking about today is the fact that God said whatever you're battling, whatever you're facing, whatever you're up against today, whatever of circumstances Satan has stamped impossible on them, you just get your stamp out of the Word of God and say, possible. Possible. All things are possible. And again, I want to hit this again because I know, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, we all feel good and everything's going to be cool, everything's going to be okay. That's not where I'm coming from. I'd rather have coffee with a positive thinker than a negative thinker. But let me tell you something. You don't just need to just be a bubblehead, you know, and life's just rolling over you with a steamroller and you never know the difference until you go into eternity. I'm talking about that God is telling you that you can stand up. No matter what you face, no matter where you are, we have people here this morning that have had to face untimely deaths in their family. That's reality. But I'm telling you, there's life after death. There is victory after loss, it seems. There is victory after material loss. We have people in this congregation that God's blessed materially just recently. We have some that seem like they've had setbacks. But I'm telling you, if you stand on God's word, regardless, you win, you win, you win, you win. It's up to us to make faith decisions to overcome daily and not to be overcome. And everything I'm talking about, please, remember, everything I'm talking about is faith in God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And all the other wonderful scriptures that are there. Now, let me ask you a question today. It's a question that's very close to my heart. Boy, the last thing I want to do is preach a gospel and have people that listen to me or for lack of listening, just coming and not listening, are not able to stand up when the storms of life come. Let me ask you a question. How strong are you? Do you really hear when you come to the house of God? Don't just listen and say that was nice, that was short, that was long, that was funny, that was maybe not, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. When you come, take notes. Because in a church like this, you will need those notes in the days to come. We're not just here to say, how many services a week can we have? How much can we do? How much activity can we have? But we are here that when we gather, we want food to be on the table. We want change to be in your life. We want you to leave stronger than when you walked in the door. And it's not based on hype, it's based on the Word of God. How much or how little would it take to blow you off course? How much or how little would it take to just absolutely turn your life and in a way of defeat? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, Acts 20:24, none of these things move me. They affect me. Sure, I have thoughts. But these things are not going to move me off of what God has done in my life. Things and circumstances are not going to move me off of the promise of God. Every believer, every minister has something or some things that they must overcome, and it usually is on a daily basis. Every day is called overcome. Overcoming day for the believer. There's always something to overcome. In the secular world, in your spiritual life, in your family, there's always something to overcome. Remember the end time spirit of the Laodicean church, neither hot nor cold. Neither hot nor cold. Church, I refuse to give up. And I haven't given up. But I tell you, mark the words of Pastor Bob Nichols, there is a wave of God's power and God's spirit and the revival and the refreshing of God, the harvest of God that must come to this world, and I believe it's coming very, very soon. I'm not interested in church just for the sake of church, and yet I believe in church with all of my heart. This has been our life, lo, these many years. But oh, I'm crying out, God, in the midst of the years, make known, revive us again. Revive us again that our hearts may rejoice in thee. Lord, do something so wonderful that we can't take the credit for it. God, do something so unusual that we'll have to say, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. Evangelists in some quarters are a vanishing breed, but we believe in evangelism. We believe in evangelist. We believe in the outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, I want you to look at Matthew 24. I want you to look at Matthew 24 for a few moments. The Bible speaks to us in Matthew 24 about the question that was asked to Jesus, when shall these things be and what shall be the sign of the end of the world? What shall be the sign of the coming of the Lord? I want to make a statement. You can take it any way you want to take it. We are in the last of the last days. Now, does that mean a few months or a few years? I don't know. But I know one thing. Read your newspapers. Look at the way things are going in our world. Look at the indifference in a part of our nation. And then those that are contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. My friend, the gray zone's almost gone. It's those that love God and believe God. And even as the prophet of God stood up years ago and said, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on God's side? Well, what shall be the sign? When? What? A lot of books are in warehouses that propose to have that answer on their own. Well, the Bible said several things there in Matthew 24. And before I go into that, remember, the Bible said this know also. Paul said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. 2 Timothy 3:1. Now, what are perilous times? Times that are hard to understand. Times that are hard to deal with. times that just don't make sense. Confusion. There's confusion in many parts of the world, confusion in the political world, confusion in a lot of different parts of the world. The Bible said in the last days, perilous times would come. That means times and people that are hard to understand and hard to deal with. You think you've got something located and you don't have it located at all. We're living in perilous times. What used to be a given in politics is no longer a given. I mean, you can do anything about it. You can do anything. And the same almost goes to certain phases of ministry. You can do anything. Live any way you want to live. Man, when I was growing up, it'd be the kiss of death for the rest of your life. I mean, we're in a day when right is wrong and wrong is right. No, we're living in perilous times. The Bible tells us in Matthew 24, this is not negative, this is positive. You know, there's a road map. Did you ever try to go somewhere without a road map? I have, and I'm going to tell you it leads to great frustration. I've told you the story about our honeymoon when I thought I knew the way to Denver from Colorado Springs, and we took a shortcut. And Joy kept telling me, honey, I don't believe this is it, macho. Oh, yes, it is. I have a sense of tremendous sense of direction. I've spent some time in the mountains. And we were trying to get to Denver from Colorado Springs and trying to go through the Black Forest area. And boy, it just wasn't working real well. I mean, the highway went to a county road and the county road went to a trail and the ruts got higher in the center of the road. And our little 1953 Ford was, I kept hearing stuff hitting the bottom of it because we were in 4x4 country. And finally got down to where there was just one lane and then there was a little place you could turn around. Joy said, Bob, I think we better turn around while we can. And we did, and I didn't say much. I had proven my point that I didn't know what I was talking about. Some things force the issue, you know what I mean? Some things force the issue. There's just nothing else to say. It speaks for itself. Well, we've all tried to take a journey without a road map. And men are just so famous about that. You know, we like to follow the radiator cap and, boy, we get that outdoors thing about us and we just know everything's going to be all right. But I want you to go to the words of Jesus here in Matthew 24, and there's some things that Jesus told us very plainly about overcoming. You know, overcoming is so important. Remember, it means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory over, to triumph. I remember a man who was quite inebriated, and Oral Roberts told him, he said, you just need to stand up and fight the devil. And he said, Brother Oral, the shape I'm in, I'm not in shape to fight anything. And he wasn't, but he didn't understand what Brother Roberts was talking about. He said, there is a time to stand up. So what is God saying here in his word? God is saying in verse 4, Matthew 24, 4, he said, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. You know, it's going to be possible that one of these days, there's going to be a lot of folks deceived by the Antichrist. And some folks ain't going to know the difference. So he said, be not deceived. How do you stay out of deception? Stay with the Word. Stay with God's Word. God's Word will keep you out of deception. He also said, let not your heart be troubled in John 14. Be not troubled, fret not thyself, let not your heart be troubled. Now, you know, that means we have a choice. I have a choice. I'm in the middle of a day when things aren't going my way, and I have a choice. I'm going to let my heart be troubled and go that direction, or I'm going to say, in the name of Jesus, I don't know what the answer or the outcome is, but I choose to not let my heart be overwhelmed, to let my heart be troubled. He also went on to say, be not war weary or be not shockproof. You know, we're so shockproof through Hollywood today that, I mean, you know, very little shocks us. Very little shocks us. But the Bible said that there was a day coming. And doesn't it read like your morning newspaper in verse 7? For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. What caused this disaster just a short while back? An earthquake in the midst of the ocean, which set off a tidal wave and brought great destruction and great loss of life. Famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. You know, while we sit in this wonderful auditorium, there's some folks that are going through some real stuff in this world system. And a lot of things are happening. Well, God said, don't be overwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be war weary. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. I want to say something today. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Peter was ashamed at one time. He was overwhelmed with the moment. But later on, he said in Acts, the 4th chapter, that neither is there salvation in any other name. The name of Jesus is the only name that you can be saved. Now, I know it's not cool to come out and say that you must be born again. There is a heaven, there is a hell. But you must be born again. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And all religions do not lead to heaven. I know a lot of people are afraid of the terrorists. We're afraid to say anything negative. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, Muhammad is not the way to heaven. I'm not being unkind. I'm telling you, there is only one name. One name. Say it with me. One name. One name under heaven whereby we, if it's convenient, add that to other names. Put that in your little religious purse and shake it off. No, the Bible said there is one name, and the name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There's only one name, not many names. Only one door, not many doors. Only one plan of salvation. Well, what if people are sincere? Hell is full of sincere people. That's why we give altar calls in this church. We have people coming here that are shocked, say, we haven't seen an altar call so long. I don't know what's happening out there some places. Thank God we're not ashamed of the altar call. And this altar call, you know what this altar call was all about? J-E-S-U-S. It's the whole thing. How are people going to be saved unless we go out and win them and unless we give them an opportunity to come to the Lord? So God warns us, don't be troubled. Man, I mean, don't be deceived. Don't be troubled. I'm going to say something else. There's a lot of things that thank God for programs and broadcast and et cetera that puts truth in your face, because you don't get it just everywhere. But don't let that trouble you. Don't let what's happening in the world trouble you unless you go on your knees before God and let it drive you to some prayer and some intercession. Folks, the world's in trouble. I know we're, overall, Americans are living better, wearing better, riding better, eating better, everything's better. And Peter spoke of that day. They said, well, what do you mean the coming of the Lord? All things continue as they were from our fathers. No matter what you think about it, I think about it. One day the trump of God's going to sound. I said, one day the trump of God's going to sound. And one day this world as you know it today is going to have a radical change. And for a while it'll look better. But then people give their alliance to the wrong leader, and then it's nothing but downhill. You know, for the believer, we ought to shout every time we open our eyes, I have a wonderful life today, and I have a wonderful life throughout eternity. I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like Billy Graham said to someone the other day, he said, I know it won't be long. I'm looking forward to being with the Lord. Oh, Robert's wife said the same thing, and those that have served God consistently forever, we're looking forward to seeing him. Well, I hope they don't check out too quick. Even though the voice may be feeble, we need a feeble voice still saying, Jesus is the way. Be not war-weary. Don't be shockproof. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Peter denied that name, but later on, he was crucified upside down according to tradition because he was not worthy to be crucified right side up because he had denied the name. Word of God went on in verse 10 to say, here's some ways to stay on top of life. Never stop overcoming. Refuse to be offended. I'm going to make a strong statement. I'll tell you, there's something that's stronger than wrong sex. There's something stronger than alcohol. There's something stronger than dope. It's a spirit of offense. It's easier to reach an alcoholic, a dope addict, someone that knows they've messed up, reaching out for help, than a person that's offended. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Don't talk to me. Listen, I'm learning every day. I think we're all learning every day. I want to hear what God is saying. Now, he said that spirit of offense. The Bible said many shall be offended. Many shall be offended. Verse 10. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another. See, offended people, then they start having problems getting along with other people too. And then it all winds up to hate. And God wants us to be love-driven in our reaching out to one another. We're not people of hate. We're not people of mean spirit. We love people. Our life is to help people. The ministry of this church is to help people. And God knows the people that have been helped through the ministry. So the Bible said, don't be offended. If someone offends you, just say, wait a minute, whoa, I am not biting that bait. I'm not going to get a hold of that hook, no matter what the bait is on the hook. No way. I may not understand. I may not like something, but I refuse to be offended. Refuse to be offended. And the Bible said many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Folks, stay with the book in the end time. Stay with the Word of God in the end time. Stay with the Word of God in the end time. Someone said, well, is it revival? That's part of it. Is it faith? Yes. What is God's message? The whole book. Just read it and believe it. In the volume of the book, it's written of me, Jesus said. I'll tell you, faith changed my life, changed Joy's life, changed our life. Thank God for Dr. Kenneth Hagin, who crossed our pathway at a very strategic time. And it's made a total difference in our lives through the years. And we're still growing in that area, as we all are. But the Bible said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Don't be hard-hearted. Refuse to be hard-hearted. I've met preachers that are hard-hearted. Boy, they're pitiful. I've met lay people that are hard-hearted. Well, if you just knew what had happened to me, well, you know, maybe you had a raw deal, but refuse to be hard-hearted. Let the Spirit of God keep your heart tender toward God. Well, I've seen offerings like this before. And, you know, I'm not going to get all... No, you're hard-hearted. Man, I tell you what, when we saw people coming forward this morning, do you realize this doesn't happen everywhere? Doesn't happen everywhere. And I know different ones came on different levels, but folks, this is wonderful. We see people saved in midweek services. We see people coming to Jesus. So the Bible tells us, don't let your heart become hard and cold. If you live long enough, you'll have a ton of disappointments. If you live long enough, you'll have a lot of people that don't shoot straight arrow with you. If you live long enough, you'll have people that take advantage of you. People borrow money and don't pay it back. You'll have people that tell you lies when the truth sounded better. Really? I told someone, I said, you know, I see right through what you're saying, but I said, you know, the truth would be much better just tell me the truth. Well, they were in La La Land. But you know, here's what I want to say to you. God's speaking to us. Whatever is overcoming for you, stay with it. Never stop overcoming. Well, I get discouraged. Overcome that. But it happens on a daily basis. Overcome that. But it happens twice a day. Overcome that. But it happens three times a day. Overcome that. But I forgave that person, but they came back and hurt me again. overcome that. Overcome that. But I trusted again. I said I'd never trust again. And I did, and I got burned. Overcome that. Be an overcomer. Winner takes all. Whiners get nothing. Crybabies get nothing. Wimps get nothing. Overcome that. Whatever is bugging you, bothering you, pressure point, whatever came in the mail, whatever somebody said, whatever you heard somebody say, that's usually where it gets started. We heard something that may not have been true. Whatever, overcome that. Don't let anyone steal your joy. Don't let anything steal your victory. Don't let anything take away from you the wonderful things that God has done in your behalf. So refuse to be deceived. Refuse to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Refuse to be war weary. Shock proof. Never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. And remember, there's only one name under heaven whereby we all must be saved. Refuse to be offended. It's a pit. It's a trap on the pathway of life. Be motivated by God's love, not by hate or by spite. Be a finisher. You know who wins out in the motor car races? Finishers. It may be 1 point in basketball, but 1 point will win the game. 1 3-pointer. Pow. The whole game has changed. The clock has run out. So we win by 1 point. We win. God wants you to throw a 3-pointer this morning. Just say the buzzer's about to ring and things aren't going my way, but in the name of Jesus, woo, right on through. Shout the victory. Be a finisher. I'm going to finish. He that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. He that shall endure. In other words, overcome. He that overcomes unto the end, the same shall be saved. The Bible said this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. In spite of everything, satellites, videos, missionaries, modern technology, somebody, obviously several somebodies in the world today have not heard what we've heard maybe God knows how many times over. One of these days, there's going to be a final witness. And somebody's going to pray that sinner's prayer. And someone's going to make their peace with God and get ready for the trumpet. Then shall the end come. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Could it be? Would it be? What if it was? One of the television stations we've been involved in foreign. What if that reached the last person? Well, maybe not, but we're part of the chain. It's obedience to God that counts. And then shall the end come. You know what I see here? God is saying, be involved with the Harvest Church. A church that's winning souls. A church that is involved in world mission. Be involved with people that are part of the answer, not the problem. Be involved with people. And I'll repeat something that happened again when we were in Grenada here just 2 weeks ago. The Spirit of God told me, everybody talks about Little Grenada because it's not one of the biggest islands in the world. And someone had said something about Little Grenada. And the Spirit of God just spoke to me and I told the people and they got a hold of that. I said, no longer call Grenada Little Grenada, because out of Little Grenada has come big Uganda. The witness, the springboard. See what I mean? And so out of something little, out of something small, out of a small beginning, we all like the big, but you know, it started with a babe in Bethlehem's manger. It started with a voice in the wilderness saying, prepare you the way of the Lord. The voice, the voice. It started with a voice. It's not always the big, but it's the obedience to the now will of God that brings the big and the bigger picture.
Oh, are you part of the big? Yeah, I'm part. I'm a partner in the big picture. I'm a partner with the big picture. We're not going to get rewarded because, you know, if someone said, if everybody's been saved, everybody says has been saved, why, we've overpopulated the world with our salvations. But only God knows. Only God knows. But I know one thing. We're part of the answer. We're part of the end time. We're part of the reaching out to all nations. And we're significant players in that part. Never thought I'd be able to say that like we can say it during these days. Said God says, be a part. Be a part. Be a part. And be ready. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. There is an overcoming to be done in your life and my life and all of our lives. John 16:33 said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus has already overcome. Jesus has already overcome anything that you could possibly ever face. Number two, through Jesus, there is nothing that you can't overcome. He has overcome, and through him, there is nothing that you cannot overcome. Number three, it's a regular, daily faith decision process to overcome. You take a bath daily. You eat food daily. And it's a daily part of your life. There'll probably be something before Sunday is over for you to overcome. But when it comes, don't let it beat you up. Don't let it condemn you. Don't let it put you under. Just say, in the name of Jesus, I make a faith decision to stand upon the word and the promises of Almighty God. Thank you, Father. If I had a wrong thought, thank you for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Oh, if I said something I shouldn't have said, thank you, Lord. I confess that. Forgive me. Wash me in your precious blood. See, our spirit's brand new. We're under construction in our heads and our bodies. Just purpose, even if it's on Sunday, I'm going to overcome. Even if it's on Monday, I'm going to overcome. I am going to be a world-class overcomer. And the final point is, you do it by faith, dependence upon Jesus. Well, I'm just not strong. I'm glad you figured that out. Well, there's weakness in our family. I'm glad you figured that out. Well, we come from a long line. I'm glad you figured that out. But who is your father? God is our father. Who is your brother? Jesus Christ is your elder brother. You're not here this morning because you look so nice and act so nice and never made a mistake, never had a problem. We're here by the grace of God. We are here by our response to the grace of God. Isn't that wonderful? 'Tis grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Tis grace my fears relieved. How gracious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Well, thank God, if you purposed in your heart to be an overcomer. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Winner takes all. Winner takes all. We always win. We always win. We're winners. We're world-class overcomers. You know, they raised up stones to come against Jesus. You know, they even tried to stone Jesus. Don't get discouraged if they come against you. Remember, I know they stoned Stephen, but they picked up stones to come against Jesus. But you know, Jesus, whoa. He said, as long as I'm on the mission, I'm untouchable. As long as I'm fulfilling what God called me to do on this earth, untouchable. And when that time comes, we go. That ought to make somebody shout here today. Some leave earlier than others. John the Baptist, Stephen, Jesus, all what? Age 30, 33. We're still here. Folks, we ought to shout the victory every day we live. We ought to be looking for opportunities every day we live. Every day we live, we ought to say, I'm going to make my life count for God.